Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, nearly 70% of the fatalities in Gaza have been women and children since the war began last October. That's according to the latest verified figures from the United Nations Human Rights Office. They condemn what it calls Israel's systematic violation of the fundamental principles of international humanitarian law. Jan Egeland is Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council and has just returned from Gaza, where he witnessed the situation there firsthand. I spoke to him shortly before we came on air, and I began by asking him to describe what he saw.
Yeah, I came out late last night. I was there 3 days, and I saw destruction, devastation, despair, beyond belief, really. We have, as humanity, totally failed the totally innocent children, women, families of Gaza that are under a relentless bombardment still, and it's gone on now for 13 months. I cannot recall a single place where so many people have been so starved while they are bombarded and have no escape.
Now, you are saying that as someone who is a long-time aid worker. How does this compare with what you've seen before?
Well, I think it's similar. I was reflecting on that when I was in there and laying awake at night, hearing the bombardment and machine guns and so on. And that was within the humanitarian zone in middle Gaza. And when I went up to the northern part and Gaza City, it looks like Stalingrad, I mean, after the Second World War. I would say it's similar to one other place, and that was the besieged areas of Syria, where the Assad regime were pummeling areas east of Damascus, urban areas, and starving out the population because there were armed militants inside. This is the same thing happening now in Gaza, and especially in the northern governorate, where there is no aid coming in and where there is fierce fighting and there are 100,000 civilians. The one difference is that the Western countries, like the US, the UK, Germany and others, were so outraged when areas were besieged by the Assad regime. But now it seems to be tolerable because they say it is self-defense. There is no self-defense in starving out 100,000 people while you are bombing them, even though there are some Hamas fighters still inside that are irresponsibly doing the war crime of blending into the civilian population. But there is no justification for what Israel is doing now in Gaza.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that aid is not getting in, particularly into the northern regions. Israel tells us that they will allow aid in, but there is corruption happening and that aid is getting into the wrong hands. What did you see in that regard?
Well, number one, don't believe a party to that kind of a dirty war. I don't believe the Hamas, don't believe Israel. Believe the humanitarian organizations who are on the ground. I was there. I spoke to my local aid workers. Number one, 30 trucks came in on average per day in October, was allowed into the whole entire Gaza Strip by Israel. Those are the figures. And even America agrees it's an outrage what they are holding back and not allowing in. Mm-hmm. Number two, there is looting, yes, because Israel bombed the civilian police, and there are now organized groups of young men with sticks who are waiting for the aid trucks that come through Kerem Shalom crossing, where I went myself. I saw those waiting for 10 trucks that were just behind us. And they were looting everything and taking out the mattresses and the tents and the food parcels, and some were just destroying this in the search of cigarettes, as there is no cigarettes coming in mm-hmm. to Gaza. How come Israel is not doing anything to limit that when they are occupying the Gaza Strip. So the corruption and the looting is because of the Israeli warfare.
It's so useful for us to talk to you because, as you know, and as our listeners will know, journalists cannot get in to Gaza and have not been able to get in since the beginning of all of this on the 7th of October last year. I'm interested to take you back into Gaza City and your description of what you saw there. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, Jan?
Yeah, first, it's very hard to get up there. We had to wait 3 hours just before the Israeli checkpoint to go in, but we spent some hours there. And yeah, I mean, there is not, I didn't see one building that was fully intact. There were whole apartment blocks that were leveled to the ground. One of my colleagues that miraculously survived, female colleague, is now leading our humanitarian work and the water distributions of the Norwegian Refugee Council in Gaza. She said that 35 people were killed when the building, her building, collapsed, most of it. 35 people. And she had fled 10 times internally in Gaza City and the northern governorate. She and the rest of the population is at their limits. And now 100,000 people have been starved out of the northern governorate and bombed out. And they have come to the rubble of Gaza City. There is where they live on top of the local population in the rubble.
So the people are still there because there essentially is nowhere safe for them to go.
No place to go. Some were walking on their feet. There's some women with children, no men with them, walking on their feet towards the south. Others with a donkey, poor donkey that was struggling to carry whatever was left. But most stay there, and they are praying for a ceasefire to this senseless war, which is no self-defense from the Israeli side. It's massive destruction of civilian areas, and it is forcible relocation and transfer of people, which is an atrocity crime under the Geneva Conventions.
And you were in Gaza in February of this year. How did it compare this time?
Well, I thought it couldn't get worse. I remember saying that because then a million people had been chased down to Rafah in the south, where we were doing operations, and people were living on top of each other, and there was no sewage, no water, no nothing. Now it's infinitely worse because also Rafah is destroyed. Remember, Americans and others were saying, no, yeah, we agree, there can be no war in a refugee camp. Israel went in and destroyed large parts of Rafah. They destroyed Khan Yunis, which is next door, which is the second largest city of Gaza. So it's infinitely worse now. And this winter will be a death trap for populations because they will be out in the open, too many with no sanitation. They are being starved and there is no healthcare, because the hospitals have been also bombed.
And you still have staff there. I mean, you have Palestinian staff who are working in Gaza, and they clearly are in a very difficult situation and in ongoing danger.
They are. And I mean, one mother and colleague of mine who is now trying to bring shelter to people. Another one who was organizing water trucking. They told me they had been now displaced 12 and 14 times, again and again and again. The drone, loudspeaker drones come and say, you have to leave immediately. We're going to destroy your neighborhood. Take whatever you can carry and leave. This is how they treat the civilian population, and these are totally innocent people.
And yeah, now we have this decision by Israel to ban UNRWA from operating there. I mean, that will have profound implications for Gaza, do you predict and expect?
It will, because UNRWA is the backbone of services in Gaza. And remember, it was created by the General Assembly of the UN, UNRWA, because the resolution before, which was the creation of the State of Israel, it's invented by the United Nations Israel. It led to the displacement of Palestinians to Gaza and to the West Bank and Lebanon and elsewhere. These people then got UNRWA. Israel got Israel. Now, one resolution is saying, no, we don't like the next resolution. We're going to discontinue the one body that has helped the Palestinians for so long time, because perhaps 9 people betrayed all of us out of the 13,000 staff of UNRWA and betrayed us and went into Israel on the 7th of October.
Mm-hmm. We know what they would say, though, in response to that, what they have suffered at the hands of Hamas and Hezbollah, and they still make that case for self-defense. And you yourself told us earlier that there are some Hamas fighters operating still in these destroyed areas.
They are, and totally irresponsibly. And again, it's a war crime to fight from and within civilian areas. But that does not justify the killing and destruction of innocent civilians and their homes. There has been, as you know, terror in Ireland, in the UK, in America, in Norway, many other places, that we in no way should degenerate anti-terror warfare to become total destruction and trampling on humanitarian law. There are rules in war.
And Jan, just finally, in this week when we have a very changed international vista before us with the election of Donald Trump, what is your call following on from that visit that you've had to Gaza?
Well, if Trump wants to put America first, he should end this war, because it is destroying the U.S. image and moral authority in the rest of the world, as they are giving indiscriminate arms to an indiscriminate warfare. It shouldn't be Israel first only and humanity last.
Jan, thank you very much for your time. That's Jan Egeland, who's Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council.
Thank you.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.